Well, y'all can be seated. Obviously, I'm not Pastor Dean. He and Faith, this was a weird thing. I just finished telling somebody I've never been alone because I've always had people living with me and kids and since I was 17. Last night was alone. Faith is with her dad today even, so it's just me and the dogs. Of course, Storm got to come in and sleep with me last night. Let's open up in prayer, because that's what we should do. Lord, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for being able to come together and worship you, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, that we have that opportunity, that we live in the land of the free, that we can still read our Bibles and worship you and gather together, assemble together as you've commanded. So, Lord, I just pray right now that your blessing would be on this morning. Lord, that you bless my husband and Faith as they go to a speaking engagement. And, Lord, that you would bless your people here, Lord God, whether they're here in person or they're watching from afar. Lord, I just pray that your presence would be on all of us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's see. Where's my clicker? Is it on? Do I do anything with it besides push the button? Sorry. Yeah, let's do that. This is just a disclaimer. You know how people have disclaimers. So this is a disclaimer for all of those who are going to email my husband and complain about me preaching because I'm a woman. He already knows I'm a woman, and we know what a woman is. And he gave me the authority to preach today. So I am operating under his authority as his wife and as a pastor, also under his authority. So you are welcome to go to this message, leadership class number 9 that he taught, Women in Ministry. And before you email, I request that you watch this and then just don't email because we don't want your email. Because this is our stance on it and it's not changing. So, because it's based off of the Bible. So we stay strong on what's in the Bible. All right. So now I do my clicker. There we go. All right. So this could mean a lot of things. The title of today's message is In the Shadow. Last time I spoke, I'm just going to give a quick refresher. And you'll have to please excuse me because I've been out in the pollen yesterday, so my mouth is dry and my throat's a little scratchy because we had an outside event yesterday, and I look up and there's this yellow cloud coming towards us. And all of us, by the time we left, were covered in pollen. So, and then some people like to leave doors open, and then your car gets, Jordan, covered in pollen. So anyway, so last time whenever I was speaking, wait, let's see. Okay, because I just pushed it and it didn't work. Last time I was speaking, I spoke about a process that sheep go through. It's called foaling. You can go back and listen to that message. This is just a quick overview. It's a step in wool and clothing making, which involves cleansing and of the cloth to eliminate impurities and make it thicker and stronger, which is what God does to us. Malachi 3:2-3, he talks about refining and being like a fuller's soap. So that's what fuller's soap is to get all the impurities out. And that's what he wants when he comes back as a bride without spot or wrinkle. So that's what that was. And the process of that is scouring to rub with abrasive, which we all go through, things that agitate and are abrasive, thickening, rinsing, and stretching. And I know we've all been through some stretching this past couple of years. That process focuses, that's God focusing on us to make us who we have to be, what we need to be. So today we're going to focus on the shepherd. And we're going to read Psalm 23. You can turn it. Probably most of you can quote it. But can you quote the right version of it? That's the question. No, there has not been the Mandela effect on any of this. So, Psalm 23. also be drinking water from a funny bottle because I don't do bottled water. Psalm 23, verse 1, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So, of course, I kind of got kidded last time when I was preaching that I was the doom and gloom person. Because, you know, I kept urging people, it's we're in the end times. Get ready. We don't have much time. Get ready. So, of course, the verse I'm going to focus on today is the scary verse about the shadow of death. Because that's my MO. That's the way I roll. No, that's what the Lord really highlighted to me is verse 4, where it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So, I just like to do little word searches and look up. So, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We often hear this in relation to death, actual death. I mean, that's when people think about this. And then you have, you know, your TV shows where they come in and they give this thing as people are dying and all that. But it actually means a little bit more than that. So if you go to the definition of shadow of death, it means deep darkness, very thick darkness, and also means calamity. So it's not just death, it's calamity. If you look up calamity, that means a disastrous event marked by great loss and lasting distress and suffering, a state of deep distress or misery caused by major misfortune or loss. And I know all of us have experienced this. And, of course, if you go to the next slide, I bring this back up. You know, here's doom and gloom here. I've got to be doom and gloom. But Isaiah 62 tells us about this gross darkness, this deep darkness that's coming in the end times. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. But then there's the good flip side, as I said last time. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. So there's a good side to it. But calamity, what really, when I was looking at this word, Bobby, I thought of you, no offense, but you've been seeing this happen in people's lives, people who have taken the vaccine. You know, he warned and warned and warned, and people didn't heed your warning, and now you're seeing, you know, such distress and misery and suffering because of their ignorance about what's going on in the world. And we're going to be seeing this more. You know, as Dean said, some people who have taken the vaccine, and I do, you know, the quotes in the air because it's really not, in 2 to 3 years, we could see mass deaths from this. So, you know, when we look at this, it really, we haven't even seen anything yet. And I'm sorry to go doom and gloom, but I think that's why the Lord really brought this out to me, is because we're about to walk into it. We're really about to walk into what could be considered the shadow of death, and it's not necessarily us dying, but it's watching what's going on in the world, the calamity. So, but then you go on to the next slide, and the next part of the verse, it says, I will fear no evil. So if you look up evil, bad, evil, I don't know if you can see that, but it specifically says calamity. I will fear no calamity. But what's coming on the world is going to be, you know, as Luke 21, 25, and 26 says, it specifically tells us that a lot of people won't have this comfort, won't have this, you know, Psalm 23 promise, because it says, and there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, which means a state of quandary, to have no way out, be at loss mentally, not to know which way to turn, to be in straits. The seas and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. So the world's going to be full of fear, but our promise in Psalm 23 is that we won't have fear. I will fear no evil. I will fear no calamity. And why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Comfort in this, I thought this was a neat thing to think about it this way. Comfort means to sigh. You know, how many of you have ever gotten into a situation and as you're getting out of it or seeing protection or seeing God work, you're like, you know, that's what that word comfort is. It's just to sigh or breathe strongly, to ease. So his rod and his staff will comfort, will make us sigh, will ease us, will be a comfort. So how in the world is that? A rod and a staff. I mean, does everybody know what a rod and a staff is when you're talking about shepherding? Let me see your hands. Yes, yes. How is that a comfort? Go to the next one. How is a rod and a staff a comfort? Well, when we're talking about God, go to the next one. His rod represents his power, authority, protection, discipline. Same thing with shepherding. You know, I was reading out of a book recently, and that's what they go through and talk about, is the rod that the shepherd has, it's his weapon. It's what he carries. It's his authority. When something comes to attack the sheep, he can club it with his rod. He can throw it, actually. He can throw it at one of his sheep that are about to run off a cliff or something. They're so good at this that they can throw it and actually stop the sheep from running off the cliff or going in the wrong way or running away. But the rod is his power, God's power, authority, protection, discipline. But what I want to focus on today is his power and his authority. If you look at Moses, it's no coincidence that when he was doing the things he did, what did he do them with? You know, it wasn't just the movie. It's in the Bible. It was always the rod, the rod. You know, take your rod and put it in the water. Take your rod and hit the rock and get water out of it. Except for one time. You shouldn't have, but listen to God. Take your rod and point it up and the Red Sea parts. And that was the symbol of God's authority with Moses. And even this picture on the bottom left, the bottom picture, that's his authority. The rod was representing his authority in battle, because they were in a battle. And when Moses would, when he would hold his rod up, they would win. When his arms would get tired and he would drop, they'd start losing. So the people around him had to come and rally with him and help hold his arms up. So if you just go through the scriptures, these are all scriptures talking about Moses using the rod of authority and power. And I won't read all these, but it was when he was doing the plagues, when he was, you know, the frogs, he puts his rod out there, frogs come out, lice come out, that's disgusting. The river turned to blood. It was just, everything was through his representation of God's authority and power. And in Exodus 7:17, the Lord told him, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. So in that, in the signs, in the miracles, in the things that he was doing, that was a way for them to know that he was the Lord. And that word is Jehovah, And Jehovah means self-existent or eternal. So in his power and authority, you would see that he was eternal. He was the God. Go on to this. And then Jesus. You can look up all the rod scriptures yourself. We don't have to go through every one of those. just showing you that it did happen. So Jesus' authority. That was a big deal for these people, the scribes, the Pharisees. What were they always doing? Where did he get this authority? Who is this guy? How is he doing this? How did he get this authority? Mark 1:22, that he said, and they were astonished at his doctrine. So the way he spoke the word, even, for he taught them as one that had authority. And not as the scribes, not as the religious people. But there was power behind it. There was a punch behind it. They felt something off of it. And then Luke 20, verse 1, said, and it came to pass that on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, the chief priests and scribes came upon him with the elders and spake unto him, saying, tell us by what authority dost thou these things, or who is he that gave thee this authority? So they were always looking at this. It made an impression on them. And this is the way we're supposed to be. We are supposed to be like Jesus. We're supposed to be followers of Jesus, disciples of Jesus. So if you move on to Luke 9, 1 through 2, it says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So these are his direct disciples that were following him around. What did he do? He took the authority that he had. He gave it to them. He empowered them to go forth and do kingdom business. If you go to Mark 16... verse 15, it says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And everybody knows this verse. Well, I guess some denominations ignore this verse, but most everybody knows this verse. I mean, he that believeth, so what's the first thing you need to do? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. In whose? Jesus. In Jesus' name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. So kind of like how Moses, you know, God gave him authority to do these things, gave him the rod, his rod of power, and the Lord worked with him. He'd tell him to do something, he'd do it, and it would be a major, you know, supernatural thing. This is what we've been charged with. This is Mark 16, 15 through 20. This is us. We're supposed to be walking in his authority. Of course, we're not taking up real serpents. We had one guy in our church that tried that because he thought it was fun. It wasn't because our church did it. We don't do that. And he got bitten and it was bad. So we don't actually take up real serpents. But think about this. If they drink any deadly thing, what in the world do we have going on nowadays? I mean, you can't even drink your water out of your tap. This is an end time scripture right here for me. But this is it. We're supposed to walk in authority. And hang on a second and go back up here. In his name. That's the key. In my name, they shall cast out devils, speak with new tongues, take up serpents, which is demons. Drink any deadly thing and it not hurt them. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. In his name. Let's skip one. to the people. Yeah. This happens, this is my comparison here, is marriage. When most couples, I'll say most, when most couples get married, the woman takes on the man's name. She takes his name, she can write a check and sign it in his name. And that's the partnership there. That's the way God intended it to flow. That's how it is with him. When we join together with him, we have his name. We can operate in that name. We can write checks for healing. We can write checks for casting out demons. We can write checks for, you know, speaking in tongues, drinking your own water and not dying from it. You can write those checks. So that's what that relationship is we take on his name. And I think most Christians nowadays, we don't get that. We don't get the authority that we should be walking in. We don't do it on a daily basis. We don't understand the supernatural portion of this relationship. It's just, you know, I check the box, I'm saved, you know, I'm living good, I'm not doing the big sins, and that's it. But there's more to it. We're supposed to be writing those checks because, you know what, you're supposed to be helping the world out here. It's not just supposed to be about your eternity. It's about showing the power of God, walking in the authority of God, going into a place and speaking with an anointing to people. You know, I mean, that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be bringing God's kingdom here. So, let's see. And just as a side note, because this was just crazy to me. People who don't do that, this is what they're like in real life. This man, true story, I took my wife's last name. Talk about weak. Took my wife's last name. Talk about, but you know, they're, this reminds me of some churches, you know, effeminate, weak Christians who are not walking in the proper authority. And then this other one, this is called pride, is what this is. He's not the one who graduated with a chemistry degree, and he's not the one going to school to be a doctor. I am. So that's why this woman didn't take her husband's name, because she's full of pride. And then down here, this other one, why wouldn't I want to take a man's last name? Well, because he's marrying me, not adopting me. Well, this is the attitude. But this is also is the attitude of a lot of churches. They're not walking in the proper authority. So how do you walk in authority? The first thing you do is you submit. I mean, that's the key. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. First, you've got to submit. You have to be under authority to walk in authority. Like, I can stand up here and do this because I'm under my husband's authority, right? And he's under God's authority. There are authorities all over that we should be submitting to. You know, wife submit to husband. Children submit to parents. You don't do that, you're all out of whack. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Younger submit to elder. And submit to those who, Hebrews 13:17 says, submit to those who watch for your soul. So the whole, you know I'll probably say this about every time, but the rebellion in America irritates me. It really just gets under my skin because this is why so many churches, so many families, so many people are out of line with God, and they don't even realize it because they're walking around with this rebellious spirit attached to them. And they're not submitting to their husbands. Then this is church women by the bukus, not submitting. They've got this girl power thing going on, and they think that it's good. It's not. It's sin. Just simple. Children not submitting to their parents, not obeying their parents. you know, even the way that we operate in society to bosses. If you're bad mouthing your boss all the time, then you're in sin. Because he is the authority, whether you like it or not. He's paying you. I'll move on from that. So, sorry, that's my little pet peeve. So first you have to submit to God, and then you can resist the devil and he will flee from you. How else do you walk in authority? Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith, or the assurance or belief, cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." You've got to have faith to walk in authority. You have to believe it, receive it, and walk it out. You have to trust God and do what he says in his word. So how do we walk in authority? By faith. All right. How does faith come about? Get in the word. Get in the word and read about it. It's a faith book. I mean, people may not like the faith movement, but the Bible is a faith book. And you look all through it, it is story after story after story of supernatural things, people having faith in their God, our God, and just stepping out and doing things, whether it be walking on the water, preaching, I mean, healing the sick, casting out demons, parting the Red Sea, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, going into a fire and saying, "Hey, whatever happens, happens, but my God can deliver me. But if he doesn't, we'll be okay." Daniel in the lion's den, you start reading this and realizing this is the God we serve. He created everything. He created us, and he is in control of everything. So we don't have to fear calamity. We don't have to worry about that because we're supposed to be walking in his power and authority. Angels springing apostles from prison, taking Joseph from being a slave and being terribly mistreated by his brothers to being a governor, using Esther, little Jewish girl, to save her people, all of her people. How about this? Enemy comes after you and fire comes down from heaven and just destroys them, like Elijah. Using David to defeat the giant. All of these things that we read as stories, we need to get in our heart and realize he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that is Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have to get the big supernatural picture. He's moving in everything, even when we feel like we're moving in mud, you know? And then my last scripture is going to be Psalm 57:1. "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." You know we're not getting out of the calamity. Well, unless we die and we'll be with Jesus immediately. But we're not getting out of the calamities. We're not skipping the tribulation. The way to get through them and bring people through them is to be strong, be walking in authority, be walking in power. And you're going to either be, you know, overtaken by the shadow of death. There's that shadow. Or here we've got the shadow of his wings. How do you stay in the shadow of his wings? You have to be nuzzled up real close, right? And to show you that God has things in control, I just wanted to do a little example. I'm going to read this just to show you how powerful our God is. Because you may be thinking, well, you know, there's people who have been losing jobs and doing this and that and thinking their life is spiraling out of control. But if you're with the Lord, he knows what's coming in your future. He knows what's in your past. He's there's no time with him. He's everywhere. So, I got to read this first. This is a dream that I had in 2005. Dean and I met in 2008, so this was well before him. And in this dream, I won't go through all of it, but I was in this big house with this knight in shining armor, You can guess who that was. So I was in this place with this knight in shining armor, and there's a whole slew of things that happened that actually have come to pass. But in the end part of it, said, after all that, Mr. Darcy, which was my dream man, you know, Pride and Prejudice, I've told you that before, came out of the armor, and we were in a big kitchen together. He brought over a rectangle glass dish full of some sort of rice and showed it to me and said, see, you didn't know I was a gourmet cook, did you? Which is what Dean says. And the first dish he ever cooked for me was a rice and chicken dish. And this is 3 years before I met him. After that, there were some unruly children running around. One reminded me of my friend Donna's son named Joshua, but it was not actually him. There were three big cakes, tall cakes that were three different colors, different flavors, I'm sorry. One was rich chocolate, one had white icing, and I don't know what the third was. The cakes were sitting on the island, and a kid came along and scooped into one with his hand and ate some. Okay. So this is 3 years before Dean and I met, and I'll play the video of our wedding reception, which had three cakes, which was not based on this dream because I didn't remember it until later. But we were dirt poor, so we were having a cake and coffee reception because I loved chocolate and coffee. And we had three cakes. One was white, like in the dream. Then we had chocolate. And then my friend made us a mocha cake. So that was the one I didn't know in the dream what it was. So go ahead and play it. You don't have it? Oh, no. Hang on. Why didn't you tell me that earlier? I put it in Dropbox and text you. Yeah. It's an IMG. I texted it to you this morning, the link, Dropbox. So we'll have a... It's in there. I saw it. Oh. Oh. IMG2059.mov. Is the suspense getting to you? You know it's going to be good, right? This kind of makes it. But that's okay. I could read the whole dream. You want? It's not coming up. Oh, you're not going to get to see the... Hang on. Yeah, you want to sing a song?
I do have a testimony.
Come up.
So,
No, you got to do it here. They can't hear you if you... Yeah.
Oh, this is fun because...
And here's Bucko.
This is fun because I've been around long enough. A lot of you guys got to know a little bit of my story, how I was in Hawaii, and I'm just fine in Hawaii. Play pickleball, do whatever you do in Hawaii, get tan and all that. And but I'm watching Pastor Dean for 5 years. And, you know, he's my pastor on YouTube. And when he mentioned probably a year and a half ago that he was going to run for governor, I was doing my laundry and thinking about pickleball. And I'm like, what? Why would that guy run for governor? He doesn't need a job. He's our pastor, you know. And one time, kind of in that same time that he said he's going to run, God said, go help. And I'm like, yeah, maybe. Maybe, but Pastor Nancy was one of her times to preach, and I remember going, that's what Southern gals sound like? Oh, I got to go.
Oh,
so here I am.
I'm really not sure.
Was that good? But it was a good message.
So it was my voice?
It's a great accent.
That's kind of weird. Now
different.
I'm weirded out. No, I just
you guys sound different.
We do.
And
we do.
Even the waitress last night, she said, Pastor Dean said something about a okra in our salad. And he goes, yeah, he's not from here. And the waitress said, I know from his voice.
Okay. Hey, said, that was perfect because we're ready. She said, bless your heart. Bless your darling heart. It's good when they say, bless your darling heart, and don't add the rest in your stupid head. So not the best quality because I was recording this. It's an old video, and it's recorded off of our big screen TV. So, but you can play. This is, so we'll look here. My cake, my sweet cake. So, wait, it gets better. That's the lady that made the cake. She's pregnant. She's mad. I had to leave that in there because she was so upset. But if you remember in the dream, I said it. One of the kids that ran around and put his finger in the cake, it reminded me of my friend Donna's son, but it wasn't actually him. Well, that's because that little boy that did that to my cake wasn't born when I had this dream. But God knew he was going to do that before he was born. That's how powerful and amazing our God is. And that's the point of this whole message is not the doom and gloom. There is calamity coming. There is, you know, we're looking at some really bad days ahead. But we're looking at some great days ahead because that's how powerful our God is. That boy wasn't born when I had a dream about him. And that's why I didn't... He does look like his brother, but he wasn't his brother. That's how powerful our God is. So that's really what I want to leave, you know, on a up note. Yes, we have some stuff coming. Draw near to the Lord. Get in his word. Learn about his goodness, his power, his authority, and start walking in it, not just so that you can walk in it, so that you can affect everybody around you. Because we're going into dark, dark days, and they need your light. They don't need just a Christian that goes to church and sits in a chair. They need you to actually be operating in the things that he's told us we're supposed to operate in. We were told to do these things. It's not a suggestion. If you're a disciple, if you're a follower, we're told to do these things in his name. So that's how powerful our God is. He knew you before you were born, right? And that is the prime example of it. You can't get any more clear than that. So that's all I have. That's it. That's all, folks. No, we could stand up. We're going to do another. Unfortunately, people online are not going to get this. We're going to go ahead and sign off. We're going to do another worship song, the Unto You. And yeah, we'll go ahead and pray and sign off. Lord, I thank you, Lord, once again for your word. And I thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, that we can walk in your authority. We can walk in your power, Lord God. You are so good, Lord. We are just mere men and women, and yet you have done so much for us. I just praise you for that. And Lord, I pray, as simple as this message was, Lord, that people would take it to heart. Lord, that they would go forth and they would work, you would work with them as they step out and do wonderful things, Lord, exploits. Lord, the exploits that you told us would be coming. Lord, I just pray for your power and your authority and your anointing to be on your people. Lord, those who are in lukewarm churches, those who are in lukewarm relationships with you, Lord God, I pray that they would, Lord, you would heat them up, Lord God, that you would just set them on fire, Lord, that you would just spread, Lord, your anointing throughout this earth, and Lord, your glory and your power would be seen upon your people. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.